Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me today in this program, The Will of God in the Life and Writings of Louisa Picaretta. I'm Father Robert Young. Let us begin with a prayer today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the gift of life given to us through Jesus, your own divine life, coming to reign in our souls through sanctifying grace, the gift of the indwelling of the Most Holy Trinity. Thank you, Lord, that your divine will, the will of the Holy Trinity, is also given to us in that indwelling, so that it can possess us as we possess it, so that it can reign in us and operate in us in everything we do. So we invite you, divine will, come into our thoughts, every word and every act, so that whatever we do, as we learn about the divine will and as we try to carry it out in our lives, may be for your perfect glory and for the good of all souls. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. As always, we ask Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. St. Hannibal de Francia, pray for us. Servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, pray for us. Thanks again for joining me today in our program. We are studying Volume 15 of Louisa's 36-volume diary, The Book of Heaven. So let us continue right away with the passage dated December 8th, 1922. It's a rather long passage, so we want to take all that we can, receive everything God wants us to receive from it, but we will move a bit quickly to be sure that we covered all today. The title is The Prodigy of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, What She Did Even from the First Instant of Her Existence. So we know that our Blessed Mother has a very special role to play in this kingdom because she is its queen. She is the one through whom the kingdom of God came to us in the person of Jesus as he was conceived in her womb, and she gave birth to him, raised him, and of course was united with him in everything he did throughout his life. Why? Because she had the will of God reigning in her perfectly. She never deviated from it. She never went outside of it. It was always in her and she in it. So Louisa says, I write out of obedience. I offer everything to my sweet Jesus in union with the sacrifice of his obedience so as to obtain the grace and strength to do as he wants. And now, O my Jesus, give me your holy hand and the light of your intellect and write together with me. I was thinking about the great miracle of the Immaculate Conception of my heavenly Queen and Mother, and within me I heard, My daughter, the Immaculate Conception of my beloved Mother was so miraculous and marvelous that heaven and earth were filled with wonder and celebrated with festivity. All three of the divine persons tried to outdo each other. The Father sent forth an immense sea of power, I, the Son, an infinite sea of wisdom, the Holy Spirit, an immense sea of eternal love. These flowed together to form one sea, and in the middle of this sea, the Virgin was conceived, elect among the elect. The divinity administered the substance of this conception. This sea was not only the center of the life of this marvelous, singular creature, but it surrounded her to protect her from all that might darken her, as well as to give her ever new beauty, graces, power, wisdom, love, privileges, etc. Her little nature was conceived in the center of this sea, and she grew and was formed under the influence of these divine waves. No sooner was this noble and singular creature created than she wanted to give her embraces, the reciprocation of her love, her kisses, and the enjoyment that came from her innocent smiles. She did not want to wait, as is usual with other creatures. So as soon as she was conceived, I gave her the use of reason and endowed her with all the sciences. I permitted her to know our joys and our sorrows concerning creation. So this is a rather interesting and new way of understanding the Immaculate Conception. But it seems to me to make perfect sense that if Mary is conceived without sin, and that she has the preternatural gift then of all knowledge, as Adam and Eve did, that God had the special dispensation for her in order to be his holy mother, the mother of Jesus. And so Mary is dispensed from all of the effects of original sin in such a way that God could restore in her this original grace, original innocence, original knowledge of all things pertaining to creation and to God as far as the creature was able to know them. So Mary, because she had that knowledge of the divine will in her, was able from the beginning, the moment of her conception, not just to receive all that, but to return love, thanksgiving, and glory to God. Why? Because that is the way creation, humanity is meant to live, is meant to be, not just to receive, but to restore what's received and give it to all of creation. That's what Adam and Eve did, to share it with everyone as their protectors and guardians, custodians, to have dominion over it all, and then to return it to God. So Mary, as she was living in the divine will from the very first moment of her conception, began to live in that way, not only receiving, not only restoring, but reciprocating, requiting this infinite, eternal love of God that filled her soul at that moment of conception. From the moment she first, Jesus goes on, from the moment she first existed in her mother's womb, she would come to heaven, to the foot of our throne, and give us embraces, the reciprocation of her love and her tender kisses. So this is from that first moment. Mary, in a sense, was able to be at the throne of God because she was in the will of God, and she was not in any way confined to space and time in the divine will, so that she could go to heaven. She could appear before the throne of God and offer him in person this love and thanksgiving and adoration. Throwing herself into our arms, she would smile at us with such gratitude and thanksgiving as to steal away our smiles. Oh, how beautiful it was to see this innocent and privileged creature, so enriched with all the divine qualities, come among us full of love and trust without fear. Sin alone is what separates creator from creature, destroys love and hope, and arouses fear. It's a great lesson for us, isn't it? That wherever there's that doubt and hopelessness and fear in our lives, it is a consequence of sin, whether it's original sin or our own, God knows, but it is a consequence of being separated from the will of God. So therefore, our will, because it's weakened by original sin, has to be restored. That restoration begins in the Immaculate Conception of Mary, Mother of God, so that from the very moment of her conception, that restoration starts taking place. Mary is able to start giving glory to God as God intended creation to give it to him. So she didn't have fear, which is a consequence of sin. It wasn't in her. You know, it's a beautiful thought that Mary, in all of her humility and meekness and littleness, was never afraid of God. And so God doesn't want us to be afraid. He'll say to Louisa many times, that fear that we have, that timidity, you know, that doubt that's in us is not of God. It comes from sin. So we have to throw it out. We have to renounce it, and we have to overcome it in our lives. For the will of God to have the fullness that it wants to have of its power living in us. Mary did not have that fear. God does not want us to live in fear. What does Jesus say? Do not live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. The reign of God is in you, and as St. John says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So we trust in God who dwells in us by grace. Goes on. Jesus says, she came among us as queen, who by her love bestowed upon her by us, won us over to her wishes, ravished us, made us celebrate, and captivated our love, and we allowed her to do so. Why? Because here is a creature, once again, in whom the kingdom of the divine will reigns perfectly, as it did in Adam and Eve before the fall, and Mary even differently because of the extraordinary grace that she receives in this Immaculate Conception, that being born after original sin, she's preserved from it. A special, incredible mystery, one of the greatest miracles God has ever performed, as Jesus just said. Jesus says, enjoying the love with which she ravished us, we made her queen of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth exalted and made Mary together with us, for finally having a queen after so many centuries. Why is she a queen? Because the kingdom is one with her. She is in the kingdom, and she is the queen of that kingdom. As Jesus would say, all those who allow the divine will to reign in them are queens, in a sense, with Mary. We're all children of the king as well, his princes and princesses. The sun smiled in her light, considered itself fortunate being able to serve its queen by giving her light. The heavens, the stars, and the entire universe rejoiced and celebrated because they could delight in their queen by letting her see the harmony of the spheres and their beauty. Why did creation respond to our Blessed Mother? Because they, in one sense, did not leave the divine will the way humanity did by the fall. They remained in it, although they suffered the consequences and the effects of original sin, also because Adam and Eve were to have dominion over them, to be, in a sense, their voice and their mouthpiece, to glorify God on their behalf, because they don't have a will to do it. But still, they share, as St. Paul says, in the fall of Adam and Eve. All of creation groans and is in agony even now, waiting for what? The revelation of the children of God, because they too will share in that glorious freedom, the freedom of God's will reigning again on earth. So he's saying, all of the universe bowed down before Mary because they saw in her once again the perfect life and power and love of the divine will reigning in a creature. It had not happened since the fall of Adam and Eve. The plants smiled because they were able to give nourishment to their queen. Even the earth smiled and felt ennobled by being able to provide a dwelling for its empress in being treaded upon by her feet. They were delighted even to be trampled by the feet of Mary because they were being touched by a creature who had the divine will again reigning in her soul, freely by her own free choice and fiat, always giving her fiat, her let it be, but the divine will reigning perfectly in her. As I mentioned last time, what is a miracle? A miracle is when nature once again responds in the way that it did before the fall, in a way that it was created to be. So a miracle is really only a restoration of nature to its nature. It's only nature doing what it's meant to do. And so we think of it as a miracle because it's so contrary to the effects of original sin. Therefore, we see it as supernatural. But that was the way God originally created and intended it to be, that it would respond to the will of God reigning in the creatures of Adam and Eve. think of the saints, you know, especially we always think of St. Francis of Assisi in this context, because he had such a tremendous relationship and dominion over creation. That's what those miracles are. They're the will of God, once again, reigning in a creature, acting in the way that original grace wants to act and wanted to act from the beginning. That was lost, of course, restored by Christ, and now come to us in a full understanding of how we're to live that way as a whole science, as a way of living God's will. Jesus says, only hell wept, feeling itself weakened by the reign of this sovereign lady. Only hell wept. Only hell was in sorrow. Why? Because hell could never share in that glorious freedom of the children of God, that restoration that had now begun in our Blessed Mother. Jesus says, do you know what the first act of this heavenly creature was the first time she came before our throne? She knew that all of man's evils lie in the rupture between his will and his creator's will. She shuddered and without losing any time, bound her will to the feet of my throne without ever wanting to know it. See, what did she do? She gave her will, bound it, united it by her free choice, by an act of her free will, she united it to the throne of God. In other words, to the will of God. Jesus says, my will bound itself to her and became the center of her life. So much so that between her and us, all relations and communications were opened. There was no secret we did not entrust to her. It was precisely this act of laying down her will at our feet that was the most beautiful, the greatest, and most heroic act of all. Dear friends, that was Mary's act of freedom. The moment, the beginning of her life, when she was conceived in the womb of St. Anne, Mary began to make that fiat by uniting her will in this image of tying herself and her human will to the throne of God, to God's dominion and will. You know, we in our lives want to do the same thing. I hope we're at that point where we can say, Lord, I don't want to do my will anymore. I want your will to reign in me. I tie my will, bind my will only to you and to what you want. But, you know, we don't have the Immaculate Conception. So we have the effects of original sin, which makes us continue to fall, leads us into sin at times, and deprives us of that happy union with God's will. So, dear friends, let us not be scandalized by ourselves or discouraged when we fail. Instead, let's go back and retie it again. Sometimes we have to do it many times a day and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I failed, I've stepped out of your will, I've broken the bond. Come now, reign in me again. I commit myself to you. And of course, we can make that even a more perfect union with God and his will when we confess our sins, especially any serious sins that would then deprive us of sanctifying grace and make it really impossible for us to be united with God. But certainly even our venial sins we can confess. And of course, as I always say, you don't confess just your sins just to be forgiven. We confess them to receive grace in order not to commit them again. And that's perhaps even more important or just as important as being forgiven, because we don't want to keep offending God in that particular way. So Jesus says, this was the first act of Mary, and may it be also our first act. If you're just hearing about this today for the first time, or maybe it's still pretty new to you, I just invite you to think about making an act at this very moment of uniting your human will, your freedom, the greatest gift you have, makes you who you are, and giving it to God, binding it to his throne, to his will, so that we never, ever separate from it again. And maybe we could think about doing that every single day and renewing it throughout the day. Lord, I bind my will to yours. Keep me, you know, protect me, safeguard me from going outside of that bond with you, that union with you. So this is what Mary did, certainly not just once at her conception, but throughout her life. Then Jesus says, enraptured by this, we, the Holy Trinity, made her queen of all. Do you see, therefore, what it means to be bound to my will, not knowing your own? Not knowing it in the sense of not wanting to know what your own will wants, but seeking only what God wants. Lord, if you want it, if you will it, I want it too. I don't want anything apart from what you want. Her second act was to offer herself for any sacrifice out of love for us. She'd be willing to do anything God asked of her. And the third was that of restoring the honor and the glory of all creation that man had taken away by doing his own will. Restoring the honor and glory of all creation that man had taken away, was now, had deprived God of that honor and glory by using his own will apart from God's will. So what is the life of Mary? What is the life of Jesus going to be, of course, whom she gives birth to, conceives, and brings to the light of the world? It's to restore that honor and glory back to God. What is the life of the Christian? And what is the life in a very special way that we want to focus on in our lives? It's restoring that glory back to God. So he says, Mary did three things. She tied her will to God. And then she offered herself as a sacrifice so that whatever God asked of her, she would give her fiat. She would say yes. And thirdly, then he says, she restored the honor and glory that all creation owed to Almighty God. Jesus says, from the first moments in her mother's womb, she wept out of love for us, seeing us offended, and she wept out of sorrow for fallen man. So Mary, from that first moment, had, you know, love for God to return the love that she had received from him in this incredible gift of the Immaculate Conception. And then she wept because man was no longer living that way. That gift had been deprived, taken away from humanity. Mary recognizes the great gift it is, and she sorrows for humanity. You know, I think the compassion of our Blessed Mother must be awfully great. Just imagine if you had that gift of the Immaculate Conception, if you were the only creature in the whole history of humanity to be exempt from that evil, the consequences of original sin. How would you feel for the rest of humanity that had not received that gift, that had not been exempt from it? Wouldn't you look at them with great sorrow and great compassion, wanting to help them? That's why she's Mother of Mercy, because from her exalted position, she doesn't look down upon us, you know, with judgment or self-righteousness or pride, just the opposite. She looks upon us as her children, that she realizes what we struggle with. At least she realizes it because she can see it and she knows it. She doesn't experience that same sin herself, but she sees the consequences of it in our lives, and she wants to help us. That's why she's our advocate, our queen, and the one that God tells us to go to. Go to my mother. Ask her to help you, to give what you need. Jesus goes on, oh, how these innocent tears touched us, how they speeded up the longed-for redemption. Sped up. They made it come more quickly. Why? Because Mary was impetrating it. She was invoking it. by her tears, by her sorrow for what she saw. And now it's a divine sorrow, the divine will united with her human sorrow that's now sorrowing. So now there is a creature fused in the will of God who sorrows for humanity. This, he says, is what made redemption and the incarnation of Jesus come more quickly. This queen ruled us, bound us, and wrenched infinite graces from us. This is Mary. You know, she had such power before God because of the divine will in her, not because even of simply the fact that she was exempt from sin, but because the will of God was asking for these things, was begging for it, you see. Because it was God's will that it happened, but now it was happening from earth, from a creature who's here in time and place. She so ardently sought to incline us toward the human race that we could not resist her incessant supplications. But from where did such power and influence over the divinity come from? Ah, you've already understood. It was the power of our will acting within her. At the same time that it ruled over her, it made her the ruler of God himself. Because God cannot resist his own will. How could we resist so innocent a creature possessed by the power and holiness of our own will? That would be to resist ourselves. We discerned in her our divine qualities. The reverberations of the divine attributes flowed upon her like waves. The reverberations of our holiness, our love, and our power. It was our will within her that attracted all these reverberations, we could say all these echoes of our divine qualities, and which was the crown and defense of the divinity dwelling within her. So the power of Mary comes from the will of God in Mary. If this Immaculate Virgin had not possessed the divine will as the center of her life, then all the other prerogatives and privileges with which we enriched her would have amounted to nothing. See, without God and his will, Mary would have been capable of nothing. It was this that confirmed her and preserved her many privileges. Indeed, it constantly increased them. Why? Because the divine will has this power, infinite and eternal power, to multiply things. That's what we see Jesus doing. He multiplies things, even in the material world, as a sign of what he's doing spiritually. He's multiplying himself. He's multiplying. What does he do in the Eucharist? He multiplies himself. He multiplies his presence so that he can be a presence intimately united to every soul that receives him. But this power to multiply comes from the divine will. You see, it doesn't come from our humanity. It comes from the will of God reigning in us. So he says, it was this that confirmed her and preserved her many, many privileges. All of the glories, all of the titles, all of the blessings, the graces, the mediation of Mary. All of that comes from the divine will reigning in her. Why can she be the mediatrix of God's grace? Because of the divine will in her, obviously. But dear friends, you and I can also be a mediator and mediatrix of God's graces to others. Why? Because we're one with him. The will of God is in us, and we're in it, and it's through that will of God that we can intercede and impetrate. That means successfully bring about and bring to others the graces that they also need. Why? Because we have the will of God reigning, praying, living, acting in us. It's an incredible thought, an amazing gift. And it's all there in the seeds of Scripture, in the teachings of the church and in the traditions of the church. We're only drawing it out. We're only seeing here, as Jesus will say in another passage, the fruit of the tree of life. We're seeing here the fruit of that seed that Christ himself planted here on earth through his life, death, and resurrection. What is that seed? It is the flowering and the fruition of the kingdom of the divine will reigning on earth as in heaven, as Jesus prayed. With that, dear friends, let's take a short musical interlude. We'll return in a moment to conclude this passage and continue our study of Volume 15 of Luisa Picaretta's Book of Heaven. We'll be right back. So welcome again, dear friends, as we continue this beautiful volume of Luisa's diary, her journal called The Book of Heaven. They're all beautiful, but this one's very short. But boy, it is really so full and so abundant of this understanding of God's will. And in this passage from the date of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, 1922, we have, I believe, one of the most beautiful, profound understandings of this mystery of Our Lady, this great privilege of hers that the Church has ever known. Why? Because Jesus here in his teaching to Luisa and to us gets to the very heart of the matter, which is what distinguishes Mary is not simply that she was exempt from sin, but she was filled at the same time, because of that exemption also, with the divine will reigning in her soul, as it was meant to reign from the beginning of creation. So this is the original grace that many of the fathers of the church have spoken of, especially St. Maximus of the Confessor, this original reign of the kingdom in humanity that was lost by Adam and Eve. So we continue with the same beautiful passage of December 8th, 1922, and Jesus continues to say to us, when we act, speaking of the Holy Trinity, we do so with reason, wisdom, and justice. The reason we made her queen of everyone is this: she never gave life to her human will. See, what makes Mary queen is the fact that in every moment of her life, she gave the divine will precedence. She let the divine will reign over and through and with her human will. That's what makes her queen. Our will was always whole within her. How could we say to a creature, "You are the queen of the heavens, the sun, and the stars," if instead of being ruled by our will, she were ruled by her own human will? All created things, the heavens, the sun, and the earth, would withdraw from the governance of such a creature. In their mute language, they would all cry, "We don't want her. We are superior to her because we have never departed from your eternal will." I think that's perfectly reasonable, perfectly logical, that nature will not respond to someone who's not in the will of God. "As you created us, so we are," nature would say to Mary. He says that's why they would have shouted, "The sun with its light, the stars with their twinkling, the sea with its waves, and the same for all the rest." Instead, seeing this sublime virgin, who almost as though she were their sister, had never wanted to know her own will, but only that of God, they not only celebrated, but felt honored in having her for their queen. They not only accepted her, they adored her, because they saw, they could experience, they could sense the will of God reigning in her. Nature cannot be fooled. You know, Mother Nature knows the will of God because, in one sense, the rest of the universe is still in it, unlike humanity. They ran about her, paying her homage by putting the moon beneath her feet as her footstool, the stars as her crown, the sun as her diadem, with angels as servants, with men attending her. Absolutely everyone honored her and paid her homage. There's no honor or glory that cannot be given to our will, whether it acts in us its own home or whether it dwells in creatures. So Jesus will say at times, the will of God that reigns in the Most Holy Trinity in itself is the same will of God that reigns in the creature and therefore has the same power. See, it's the same will that's in us that is in God. At the same time, we have to say, theologically, we have to put a footnote here and say that always this will of God reigns in us as God's gift. We don't have it by nature. God gives it to us, as he says, first on loan, until you show me you're going to use it wisely and well, and then I give it to you as a possession, as a gift. But it's something that comes to be given to us. It was given to Adam and Eve at the beginning. It was restored to Mary at her conception. We must learn how to use this gift, how to receive it, how to put it to work. So, but the point Jesus is making here is that the same will of God is in us that is in him. And therefore, creation recognizes the power, the beauty, the love of that gift, whether it's in us, whether it's in the rest of creation, or whether it's in God himself. You see, it's still God's will. It's still there. He says, "Do you know what the first act of this noble queen was when coming forth from her mother's womb? She opened her eyes to the light of this lowly world. When she was born, the angels sang lullabies to this heavenly infant. She was ravished by this, and her beautiful soul left her little body and, accompanied by an angelic host, went all around heaven and earth, gathering up all the love that God had spread throughout creation." Amazing thought, isn't it? What does a person do? You know, what is our work in the divine will? It's to do exactly what Mary did, to go around and gather up all the love and glory, thanksgiving of all the rest of creation, whether it's human or the otherwise, and give it back to God. You see, that's the life of the divine will. Ultimately, it's all about that, restoring glory to God. Penetrating into the Empyrean, what is that, the heavens, she came to the feet of our throne and offered us the love she had gathered up from creation. That's what Mary did. And in tying her will to the throne of God, she offered not only herself, not only her sacrifice and her fiat that would be ongoing and never broken, but she offered it for all of creation as though all of humanity and the rest had lived in God's will and returned it themselves. You see, that's the power of the divine will, is to do it for those who don't, to make up for what was lost. That's what redemption is. That's what Jesus was going to accomplish by his life, death, and resurrection. Ultimately, Mary, by the foreseen merits of Christ coming after her, is given the grace to do it herself in the divine will. Not, of course, the way Jesus did by nature, but Mary did it by grace, according to those foreseen merits that Jesus would win for her and for all of us to do this as well by living in the will of God. So he says, she offered up all that love, thanksgiving, glory, adoration she had picked up going around to all of the world. That's what we do in the rounds. We call them this special kind of prayer, rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, rounds of sanctification, where we go around all of the universe in all times and places, and we, on behalf of God, receive and take from this creation what it owes to God and offers it back to God in the will of God, even though it's not been done, certainly not perfectly, maybe done partially by some, by many not at all, by many, in fact, only an evil response has been given to God. But in the divine will, that power and capacity to make up for what's lost and not been done is all there in the will of God. Mary does it even in the womb of Saint Anne. He said this is what she does at the very beginning of her existence. So he says, she then uttered her first thank you on behalf of everyone. Thank you, my Lord. I love you too. I love you back in thanksgiving, in love and adoration for all you've done for us. Oh, how happy, Jesus says, we felt in hearing the thank you of this infant queen. And we bestowed upon her all graces and all gifts, which exceeded that of all other creatures put together. Why? Because the other creatures put together didn't have the will of God reigning in them the way Mary did. So even though she's one, she can do more than all the others put together. And so can we, not because of ourselves, but because God gives us his own capacity to do that. We give God our wills, and he gives us his power. That's what willpower means. Then throwing herself into our arms, she took delight with us, swimming in the sea of bliss, and became adorned with new beauty, new light, and new love. She again made supplication for the human race, praying with tears that the eternal word might descend and save all her brothers and sisters. See, this is Mary, bringing love, thanksgiving, glory to God, and at the same time, asking, begging, imploring God to redeem all of her brothers and sisters. You see, while she was doing this, our will informed her that the word would descend to the earth. And she immediately departed from our delights to do what? To do our will. What a powerful magnet our will was, living on earth in this newborn queen. The earth no longer seemed a stranger to us, and we no longer wanted to punish it by making use of our justice. we had the power of our will, which in this innocent little baby held back the arms of our justice, smiled at us from the earth, and turned punishment into sweet thank yous and smiles. So much so that not being able to resist the enchantment, the eternal word acted sooner. O wonder of my divine will, to you everything is owed, for you everything is done. There is no greater marvel than my will dwelling in a creature. What a beautiful understanding, beautiful way for us to come to prepare in a month from now for this great solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. You see, it's all about God. It's all about God's will, that God freely chooses to act in this way through a creature. She did nothing before her existence to deserve it, although God, of course, foresaw in his infinite wisdom and sight that Mary would be faithful. But still, humanity had done nothing really to deserve it. And so God, in his infinite goodness, in one sense, even raises humanity to a greater height, a greater status and honor and dignity because of Mary and because, of course, most of all, her son Jesus, who would take on our flesh through her. So God's love cannot be outdone, obviously. You cannot outdo God in love. All we can do is receive it, in a sense, restore it by giving it back to all of creation, especially humankind, and then returning everything to the Father with love and thanksgiving. That's the life of our Blessed Mother, which she receives from God by the foreseen merits of her son Jesus, who would be conceived and born in her. Dear friends, the understanding of Mary is so essential to this way of life, because what Mary was able to do by the Immaculate Conception and by that fullness of grace of living in the will of God and it in her, God also wants us to do. And as I said earlier, we don't have the gift of the Immaculate Conception, but we do have the gift of the knowledge now. And so in a sense, we have no excuse. We have the knowledge. He's given it to us through Louisa. So, as Jesus would tell Louisa, you're more favored than Mary because Mary didn't have Mary. Mary didn't have the mother that we have in Mary. And so we have this advocate, this queen, this mother who wants to help us by studying the will of God. She will always pour out graces and allow the graces to flow to us that we need if we ask her. So we must turn to her often. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Help us to know what it means always to live in the will of God. I love that prayer that she taught Louisa in the Blessed Virgin Mary book, The Queen of the Divine Will, where she tells Louisa to come three times a day and say, Mother Mary, I love you, love me too. Give me a sip of the divine will for my soul, so that all I do may be under your maternal gaze, so that everything might be one with you in the will of God. Give me a sip. Sometimes that's all we can take. It's all we can handle are these little sips of the living water that God wants to give us of his will. Let's ask Mary, all of us, to help those who are listening today, to help all souls come to know about this great gift and to live in it, to receive it as our own gift, not as the Immaculate Conception gave it to Mary, but through the knowledge and through the gradual process. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It certainly hasn't for me. After 15 years now, I can say I learn something new every day. I learn it from many of you, many of the listeners, many of the groups I'm blessed to be present to and who teach me in so many ways. Even a good question, I think, helps us to learn more. Let us never assume that we've come to the end of that knowledge or that we have the only understanding of it. Like everything else that God has done, there are many ways to approach it, to appreciate it, to value it, to love it, and to live it. So we each come in our own way. We also want to be sure, however, that as we do that, we do it in the context of Holy Mother Church, because Mary's also the mother of the church. And so we don't want to ever go outside of those boundaries of divine revelation. St. Hannibal de Francia would say many times to Louisa and to the other readers of Louisa's works that this must always be taught, interpreted, translated in light of public divine revelation. So that's why it's important that we entrust ourselves to a priest or someone who we can trust that will give us a proper perspective, a Catholic perspective on this wonderful gift and this teaching of the divine will. So, like St. Paul, we all want to be good apostles. We want to bring it to people, but we must also do it, as Jesus says, with prudence, and we must do it always in conformity and obedience to the church. So let's ask once again our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means always to live in the will of God. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. And I ask Almighty God, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to come to each one of you, to enlighten you, to give you God's will, His peace, His light, so that all that you do can be one with God and with creation in hastening the coming of His kingdom. May Almighty God bless you, keep you always in the heaven, the kingdom of His will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.